You're listening to a session of Come Celebrate, hosted by the Bay Christian Family Church.
Amen. Well, this morning I want to ask you, who do you say that I am? And by I mean Jesus. We're going to look at a text this morning. It's in the book of Matthew 16 from verse 13 to 17. The Bible says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? And they replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But who do you, he asked, who do you say I am? And Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. My question to you is, who is Jesus to you? I told you who Apostle Alan and Apostle Janine is to me because they mean something to me. They've changed my life. They changed my family's life. When you were on your deathbed, the way that you live now is an anthem in our life. We stand by that. We stand by your glory of saying, Lord, we're not going to give up. We're going to fight the fight of faith. That has changed our life. It's changed who we are. So we now know who you are to us. But my question to you is, who is Jesus to you? Because it's one thing to say, yes, he's a prophet. Yes, he's an amazing miracle man. But who is he really to you? Maybe you're new in this church and you haven't fallen in love yet with the pastors that God has blessed you with. But let me tell you, over the next 30 years, you will be able to speak a different story about who they are to you. But my question to you, above every other person, let's get real a little bit. Who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to you? Because there's many things in the Bible, and as I read the Bible, I love to see who he has and been to many people because it will show us who he can possibly become to us. So I read and I saw that he's been healer, he's been deliverer, he's been savior, he's been master, he's been provider, he's been all those things, which is great, but he hasn't really been them to me. Like, I hadn't really had someone that loved me, thought about me, invested into me, until I realized there is someone like that. Now, when I look at a standard of who is a man to me, a man of God to me, I have a standard. So my question to you is, who is Jesus to you? Is it just someone that you read about? Is it just someone that a friend told you about? Or do you truly have a revelation of who Jesus is? I want to talk to you a little bit about the word revelation, because you have to have a revelation of who Jesus is. It goes beyond just what you think or what you've heard. The word revelation, if you can put it up, I gave you some notes. It says, a surprising and previously unknown fact that has been disclosed to others, a revelation about his personal life, making known of something that was previously secret or unknown, the divine or supernatural disclosure to humans of something relating to human existence. That's who Jesus is. That's who Jesus is. When we have a revelation of who he is, we realize it's something we didn't know before. Now we know, it changes our life, and now we base our life on who he is. So my question to you is, who is Jesus to you? Does he really have your heart? Does he really know you? Do you really know him? Who is Jesus to you? Because in the Bible, I see who Jesus was to other people. To the Samaritan woman, let me tell you, he was this amazing man that accepted her when no one else did. And I don't know what you've been through. I don't know where you find yourself today. Maybe you feel worthless. Maybe you've been through many divorces. Maybe your life has been struggling up until now. And you need a Jesus that can see you for who you truly are, to be accepted, to feel worthy. But you haven't seen him like that yet. But if he's been there to someone else, he can be there to you. I love the Bible and I love reading God's word. And the more I look at it, the more I see how Jesus is to other people. A man that's really so close to my heart in the Bible is Peter. And when I looked at Peter, every time I see how Jesus revealed himself to Peter in different places, different ways. And one of the ways that he did was in Peter's moment of anger, when he chopped off that Roman's ear, Jesus goes and he heals the man. So Jesus goes and he does something where Peter, he messes up. Anyone messed up before? Okay, you're not going to be honest. Anyone here messed up before? Come on, righteous people also fall, and then we need someone to help us up. Amen. But I want you to know this, that when Peter messed up and he did something horrible, Jesus stood up for him. And I want you to know that if you've messed up, if you've done something horrible, even if you don't even know how it happened, or maybe you did it out of anger, some people have done things every single year in, year out. You find yourself in addiction. You find yourself struggling with anger. Let me tell you, God can be the person that can save you and change your life. Who is Jesus to you? One thing I love about Jesus is he goes to Peter and he says, Peter, you're going to deny me, but I want you to know that I'm praying for you because when you come back, you will go and strengthen your brothers. You know that Jesus is his intercessor. Jesus is your intercessor. Who is Jesus to you? And I read this, I'm like, man, God loves me more than I even love him. He cares more about me than I even care about him. For the woman with the issue of blood, he was healer. Someone who had absolutely nothing, kept trying and using all the money and running after doctor, after doctor, after doctor. He came and he revealed himself as healer. Who is Jesus to you? Because let me tell you, he wants to change your life. He wants to transform your life, but he needs you to have a revelation of who he truly is. He wants you to find him. He wants to change your life. I want to tell you two stories, then I'm going to come to an end. My wife and I have been married 17 years this year. And when I met her, I was just straight out of school. And I just got born again, radically saved. My wife comes from ministry. And she had a prophetic word that she would meet her husband at the first service of the church they started in Pretoria. Now, let me just tell you, that means someone who doesn't know Jesus gets born again and all of a sudden comes into a life of someone that's been serving God for years and years and years. So it's already crazy by itself. I went to the first service. I had a babalas. I was hungover. My mom forced me to go to church, but I wasn't even listening to most of the service. But at the end, when the altar call happened, I knew something leaped on the inside of me and I need to go to the front. I came to the front of the altar. I gave my life to the Lord. And from that day forward, I started living radically for the Lord. During that process, of course, I became friends with my wife's brother, which is a good idea for anyone looking for a wife. I consider that you go and you find the spouse's family and become good friends. Amen. Voter, that worked. Amen. Amen. I fell in love with my wife, and my wife is 5 years older than me, but I had this boldness and this confidence on the inside of me, and I went to her and I said, you know what? I like you. I want to marry you. I was 18 years old. She said, well, you're going to have to go speak to my dad. I'm like, okay, we'll sort that out later. I just want you to know I love you and I want to marry you. So I went through all the logistical stuff and we got to the place where we really loved each other and wanted to get married. But at that time, the law was a little bit different. You couldn't marry someone without getting your parents to sign you off because you had to be 21. I was 18. My wife was 5 years older than me. And the law was not allowing us to get married. So I went to my parents who weren't serving the Lord. My mom loved the Lord. My dad, not so much. So they both needed to sign. I went to them. I said, please, will you sign me off? I want to get married to the wife that God has sent me, the one that I'm going to spend the rest of my life with. And my dad said, have you thought about this properly? You're young. You need to go and make sure you got your house in order. You must make sure that your studies are done. I said to him, Dad, I know that that's how it worked back in the day, but I need to tell you that I need to trust God right now. God is on this. And I know that even if you don't understand it right now, I'm asking you just to trust me and believe me because God has put us together. He said, I don't know. That it'll have to be a miracle. I said, thank you. I will go and talk to God. So me and my wife, we go, we pray. We say, God, I'm asking you to make a way where there seems to be no way. You are the God that said you can turn any situation. So we went and we prayed. Within that week, something miraculous happened. The law changed in South Africa that says you can now sign yourself off to get married at the age of 18. Come on, give God some praise. Who is God to you? Who is God to you? Because God did it once for me, he will do it again. So let me tell you, I went to my dad. I said, it looks like God has overridden you a little bit with this. I love you, Dad, but I feel like God also wants us to be together. My question to you is, who is God to you? What revelation have you got? What has Jesus done for you that you can say, now I know that upon this rock I will build my church? When Peter can so confidently say something and Jesus can respond to that, it's because of revelation. And my question to you today is, who is Jesus to you? The second and last story is a bit more of a dramatic story, because when we had our first child, the promise, God told us we will have four children. And my first child was born, Rain. He's now 15 years old. And the one day we were at the office, we were busy with work, and my son kept getting this fever, high fever. His fever kept growing and growing and growing. And I said to my wife, something's not good. Something's not right. This is bad. And we need to take him to the hospital right now. And because of all the staff she had to run, we couldn't get to the hospital together. So I had to go by myself. So I go to the hospital, and my son is so hot. He's like over 45 degrees. I can just feel such heat on my boy. And I know that there's a problem. I'm waiting in the waiting room, and I see him starting to convulse. His whole body's just shaking and shaking and shaking. I'm like, Lord, I need you to do something. And I didn't know what to do. So I took his body, so tired and limp, and I ran towards the bathroom. And I tried to put some water on him, and it wasn't helping. And I was in a busy hospital in Unitas in Pretoria, and I was just carrying on saying, please, Lord, please, Lord. And he just wasn't helping. It wasn't helping. He was getting heavier and heavier in my body. And I thought, let me just go back to the doctor. And as I was carrying my son, he was starting to shake and shake and shake. And all of a sudden, he stopped. There was no sound. He had stopped. There wasn't a breath in his body anymore. And I held him in my hands like this, and I looked at him, and I thought, no, God, you promised me four children. And it was just me in a busy, busy hospital, people walking around all over the place. I looked at my son, and I was like, no, no. And I dropped to my knees. I said, devil, you take your hands off of my son in the name of Jesus. I said, you will live and you will not die. I spoke life over his body. I said, come to life, come to life, come to life. He opened his eyes. Who is Jesus to you? I picked him up. We went to the doctor's room, and the doctors helped me, and he literally died in my arms for a moment, they said. 7 years later, I go back to the hospital. We had to take my son to the pediatrician. And we walk into the same doctor's room. The lady behind the desk is the same one that was there when it all happened. She said to me, do you remember that day when you came and your son died in your arms? I'm like, no, remind me of it. She said these words. She said, at that moment, this whole hospital knew that there was a God in heaven that heals, that raises people from the dead. Because I was not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, who is Jesus to you? He's healer, he's deliverer, he's provider. He's the resurrection power. Who is Jesus to you? I want to ask you this, because let me tell you, many times you do not know. You do not have firsthand revelation of who Jesus is. I've tried that before. I'm going to be a little bit comical now, but I've asked God before to do something for me because of Pastor Allen's faith. Because he's a man of faith. Lord, just do it for me too. And then the Lord took me to a scripture. I don't know how many of you have heard about these seven sons of Sceva. Oh my word. These guys loved miracles. They loved seeing the power of God. And they saw this demon-possessed man being delivered all this time. And they're like, this looks fun. So what you do, you say, in the name of Jesus, that's the way it works. You know, or you just lay hands. So I don't know how many of you have seen some people do miracles and you're like, that looks pretty easy. You just have to do the act. Let me tell you, Christianity is not an act. It's a relationship with God, and everything that flows out of that is how you live your life. But these seven sons of Sceva, they were like, okay, so we're going to try and deliver this man. And they went and they said, come out. And the demon spoke out. The demon's like, okay, whoa. Jesus we know. Paul we know. Paul we've heard about. Now, who are you? And they attacked them. They had to run out naked, beaten up, ashamed. And I'm asking you, how many of our Christianity is based on us looking beaten up, broken, ashamed? And the church of God is starting to look like that if we don't represent a true Jesus to him. So who is Jesus to you? You need to have a revelation of him. You have to know him. You have to find him. You have to love him. You have to say, Father, I want to know who you are to me. And it's going to take a commitment to say, God, I want you to have my whole life. I want you to have my whole life. I want you to get to the place where you get so desperate for God, where you say, Lord, it's no longer my life, no longer my will, but your will. I don't know where you're at today, but I know that many of you do not yet have a personal revelation of who Jesus can be, maybe in your finances or in your health or in your relationships. You know a part of Jesus, but let me tell you, he's so much more than what you've seen. And once you get into his scriptures, once you get into faith, once you start to activate the faith that's on the inside of you, you already have faith. You're like, I want more faith. No, just use what you have. The Bible says we've all been given a measure of faith. You've been given it already. Just activate it. Trust God that what he's given you can and will work. I believe God wants to do miracles in this room this morning. Just for a few moments right now, I kept hearing this song in my heart this morning. One that Brandon Lake sings. What's that line again? I've seen miracles. The resurrection power of Jesus. God wants to heal some people today. He wants you to start seeing yourself the way he sees you. Don't tell me he can't do it. Don't tell me he can't do it. Don't tell me he cannot do it. Don't tell me he cannot heal your marriage. Don't tell me he cannot heal your body. Don't tell me he cannot resurrect your life. Maybe Jesus is Savior to you, and that's awesome. I want him to be our Savior, but he's more than Savior. He needs to become your Lord, because Savior is going to get you to heaven, but Lord is going to have him run your life from Monday to Sunday. Yes, I believe he's my Savior, and I'm grateful. Let me tell you, he saved my life. But he's more than my Savior. He's my Lord. He owns my life. He owns my time. He owns my money. He owns my marriage. Right now, in this day of my life, God owns everything. And I want to ask you, who do you say that Jesus is? Not secondhand revelation, not trying to stand on someone else's back and say, well, he did it. I want to do it like that. No, we learn from people, and I'm grateful. Thank you, Mom and Dad, for your faith that you've taught. It's that faith that carries me. But I want to ask every one of you to look at Jesus. If you can just close your eyes for a moment. We're coming to an end right now, but God's doing something right now. Maybe you have a secondhand revelation of who Jesus is. Maybe third hand, fourth. It's not an intimate relationship yet. I believe that God wants to do a miracle in this room today by revealing himself to you so that you can have revelation of who he is. Father, I ask you this morning in the name of Jesus to come and reveal yourself to every single person in this room. Lord, I ask that you will guide them, bless them, teach them. Father, we want to thank you that you are real, that your word never fails, and that you will build your church. I thank you, Lord, that this morning every single person under the sound of my voice gets a revelation of who you truly are to them, so that they can live a bold and confident life, knowing that you are for them, not against them. And if you believe that, say amen. Amen. Say amen. Come on. Amen. 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 I believe that God is going to give you an opportunity over the next few weeks to really see him differently when you get into his word. And once you see him be something for someone else, I want to ask you to consider him being that for you too. If he's been deliverer to someone, if he's been breakthrough to someone, if he's been forgiveness to someone, let him be that to you. I want to thank you this morning. I want to thank you for being faithful in this house. I want to ask you to continue and remain. I want you to build this house with us as we see the next 30 years become the greatest years of the Bay Christian Family Church. Thank you, Mom and Dad. We love you so much. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this session of Come Celebrate. We hope you enjoyed.